Hello and welcome to our program. We continue today in the book of Philippians. If you possibly can, have your Bible ready. Previous programs, we've seen that this church at Philippi was a good church. There were solid Christians here. They really wanted to do what was right, and they wanted to follow the Lord. And down in verse 14, Paul says to them, "Do all things without murmurings and disputings." Why would you have to say that to a good church? Well, because a good church is full of human beings, and they have an old nature and a new nature. We'll look at it in a minute. Before we do, here's an old favorite, a beautiful song, "Amazing Grace." How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
We read recently in Philippians 2, verse number 5, Paul said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Let it. To let something is not preventing something from happening. And we have seen in our previous messages that Holy Spirit would like us to have the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you. The only reason we wouldn't have the mind of Christ is we refuse to let it become a reality and let the Holy Spirit do a work in that area. Then he said in Philippians 2 and 12, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Now, we looked at that also. Salvation. Salvation from what? When the Bible talks about salvation, it's not always talking about going to heaven. For instance, in Acts 2 and verse number 40, Peter said there, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation." Salvation to go to heaven is not by works. And it says in Titus 3 and verse number 5, "It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us." So when it's talking about working out our salvation, going to heaven is nothing to do with working our works of righteousness. This work that it's talking about here is how to live the Christian life after one receives Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. Work it out with fear and trembling. Now, we said that phrase is in the Bible 14 times in 7 verses. Each of the 7 verses, it's there twice. We saw that Paul the Apostle said to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 2, verse number 3, I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And, of course, in his ministry, he'd been whipped, thrown in prison, beaten with rods, stoned a few times, left on the side of the road for dead. The heathens attacked him. His own countrymen attacked him. The false brethren were attacking him. And then he said, I'm the care of all the churches. I think to him that was, there was more fear and trembling in that than it was in all these other physical things. He had to do it right. You don't get to do the local church thing over again. And as pastors, we need to approach what we're doing with much fear and trembling, that we are doing it according to the scriptures. Well, Paul did, and when he got the end of his life, he said in 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Now, he says in Philippians 2:2, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. 1 Timothy 6:12, he said, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called. You got a job to do. I've got a job to do. We're here for a reason. If all we got saved for was to go to heaven, God might as well have just taken us there 1 second after we got saved. No, we're here to do a job. We're supposed to be ambassadors for Christ. What we need to do is fight the good fight of faith, whereunto we are also called. Well, as we fight that good fight of faith, we need to be, verse 14, doing all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shines as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Paul felt like if those Christians didn't go on in the Lord, then his ministry was in vain. And so he says here, do all things without murmurings and disputings. What is murmurings? It is to express one's discontent about someone or something in a subdued manner. In other words, murmuring is just complaining, gossiping, saying things in a subdued manner because we're discontented with how things are going. What does disputing mean? Well, that's a disagreement between God-given authority and the followers of a God-given authority, and it leads to an action of protest by the followers. So the murmurings, the just quiet gossiping and sowing discord among the brethren, which God hates, and the other one is action. It's an open disagreement between God-given authority and the followers of God-given authority, and as we said, it ends up in an action of protest by the followers. Well, I've found over the years, I've been doing this for a long time, and I've found that 10% of the people in our local churches, if they didn't have a pastor, they would try to do right. They would try to raise their family according to the scriptures. And then at the other end of the scale, you got 10% who wouldn't do right if Jesus was a pastor. And in the middle, you have 80% that'll go either way. If you're having a revival, yeah, that sounds like fun. We'll go that way. If you're having a split, they might just join that. They're just there. And Jesus said, I wish you were cold or hot. He's got more respect for those murmurers and disputers at the other end of that 10%. They're just not going to do right. They're just there to cause trouble in the church. Well, don't be one of them. Paul says, you don't want to be in that group. Do what you do without murmurings and disputings. And what he's doing is he's telling us you're going to have that group. Don't be surprised when you see that kind of nonsense in our local churches. We're at the end of the age when we're going to have a lot more of that than they had 100 years ago. And then in verse number 16, Paul said, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Now that phrase, holding forth, the same Greek word is translated take heed in 1 Timothy 4:16, where it says, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Now there's an important verse. First, he says, take heed unto thyself. Now, the self-life, we've talked about this before, we're a three-part being, a body, soul, and spirit. The body is what we live in. The soul is made up of the mind, the will, and the emotions. That's the self-life. And then the spirit is that part. The Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit. He doesn't bear witness with our self-life or our mind, our will, or our emotions. So he said, take heed about your emotions. Take heed about how you think here. And take heed that you line up with the doctrine. That's such an important thing. Get into 1st and 2nd Timothy and see what God says, how important doctrine is. Continue in them, he says, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Now, what's he talking about, save thyself? Was Timothy, the pastor of that church, not saved yet? Yeah, he was saved. What it's talking about here, as we've said many times, when you see the word saved, figure out what it's talking about being saved from. There's quite a bit of times in the Bible. In fact, 55 times in the Bible, you'll find that phrase, take heed. And Matthew 16:6, Jesus said, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. We got a lot of that going on today. Beware of this false religions. And then he said in Matthew 24 and verse 4 at the end time, he said, take heed that no man deceive you. And anybody who is telling you that you do not need to repent in order to be saved is deceiving you. Take heed that no man deceive you. Then in Mark 13 and verse 9, Jesus said, take heed to yourselves. And then in Luke 11 and 35, take heed to the light which is in thee, that it be not darkness. Make sure what you think is light really is. And then in Hebrews 2 and verse 12, he said, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Now, that can happen. And I've seen it, as I said in a previous broadcast. I've never seen so many quitters in my life as I have in the last couple of years. It's a despicable thing that people would quit. And I'm not talking about just quitting a local church. They're quitting on God. It's amazing what's going on in these days. And so when Paul said here, hold forth the word of life, he was talking about take heed that you're lining up with the word of God. Take heed. He said in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse number 12, wherefore let him that thinketh he stand take heed lest he fall. So let's read it that way. Take heed to the word of God, Paul said, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Well, here's a message in song as we conclude the program today. Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Ready, my God, thy will to see. Make it your prayer.
Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Place in my hands the wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. Silently now I wait for thee, ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me. Spirit divine. Warm truth everywhere. open my heart and let me prepare love with thy children thus.